Pennzoil Synthetics give you complete protection for top engine performance. Make the switch today at your nearest Advance Auto Parts location.
If you're not a fan of change, well, that makes you pretty much like everybody else. But stuff's gonna happen. New car, new house, new baby, maybe a new driver in the family. You have enough on your plate, so let your person take care of the insurance part. Just call or email. Let them know what's new and what's up, and they'll handle it. Nice. At Skokman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com.
Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Welcome back, and welcome to hour number two of the Todd Brommel Camp Show, coming to you from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. It is the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire. Check them out online at Linder Tire right now. They got some great online specials. Just go to lindertire.com and click on coupons. It'll take you there. Got a $19.32 off an oil change and tire rotation, tires to get you ready for the upcoming winter season, and a whole lot more. Linder Tire, located in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn tonight. Busy night here on KGYM. It's been a busy day on KGYM. Alex is going to be bringing you the Class 4A High School Championship game tonight from the Uni Dome. Iowa City West looking to take down West Des Moines Dowling. We'll get you there at 6:45. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, this is important if you're listening to the show on 1600 AM, we are going to be branching off and joining the Cyclone Radio Network as Chris Williams and Brent Bloom are in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the Puerto Rico Tip-Off Classic. Iowa State taking on Tulsa in the semifinal round of that tournament tonight. That game set to tip off a little bit after 6 o'clock. We'll get you the pregame at 5:30. So 1600 AM listeners coming up at the bottom of the hour. If you want to hear the rest of this show, you're going to have to do so on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. Congratulations, Ben from Marion. He's our winner of the $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. And would you look at that, one of their three locations, conveniently for Ben, is located in Marion, the other two in Cedar Rapids, one downtown across from the U.S. Cellular Center, and the third and newest location in the Fountains off Edgewood. Don't forget, that location has a very nice party room that is private if you're looking for a place to hold a family gathering, maybe a work function. LaCantina319.com is the website to check out. Mike Carman joining us at the bottom of the hour from the Lafayette Journal and Courier in Lafayette, Indiana, covers the Purdue Boilermakers. They are Iowa's opponent for Senior Day tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium, and we'll talk plenty of Hawkeye football at 6 o'clock tonight with a guy who led the offense here in Iowa City last year, quarterback C.J. Beathard, now in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers on his bye week and back in town. He's not going to be with us at Coach's Corner, but you can show up and hope that he will be, I guess. But I'll let the cat out of the bag. He's going to be joining us on the phone. Lots more to get to, as well as your texts and calls, 319-366-1600. We're going to talk a little bit more about Purdue and Iowa coming up. But, Rob, big weekend for one Big Ten team in particular, and that's Wisconsin. There's no other way to put it. They embarrassed Iowa last week at Camp Randall Stadium, brought the Hawkeyes back down to earth, now 10-0 on the season, number five in the polls. They've got Michigan coming to town. The Wolverines are 8-2. This is pretty much a do-or-die game for Michigan this year. And Wisconsin, if they want to get into the top four of the college football playoff poll at all, they pretty much have to run the table. So this is an 11 a.m. kickoff on Fox tomorrow. Wisconsin's a 7.5-point favorite. Do you think the Badgers can survive this game, or does Michigan have what it's going to take to give them a run?
I think Michigan can give the Badgers a run. I still think Wisconsin's going to win. For no other reason maybe than it's there. And it was just an incredible environment last week. It definitely affected Nate Stanley. James Daniels told me after the game that it bothered him, and there were a couple center quarterback exchange snafus last week. So, and I think the crowd was directly responsible for that. Now you've got Brandon Peters, a first-year starter for Michigan, coming into the same environment against a defense that just, you know, confuses quarterbacks with where they're bringing pressure from. You know, the stunts that they showed Iowa on the defensive line, Iowa's all young offensive line, or the tackles. Michigan's certainly capable of winning this game, but it's not. I don't think it's beaten a team that's over 500 this year, Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. So people talk about the, you know, the lack of quality teams that Wisconsin's played this year. Michigan, although they've played Penn State and Michigan State, they haven't beaten them, and they still are looking to beat a quality team, and I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow.
You know, on the subject of Michigan, because we kind of glossed over this earlier, but the talk that Jim Harbaugh could possibly be looking at getting back to the NFL, you put much stock into that?
He's weird, man.
He's that's why I have to look at that and go, you know what? I can't automatically rule it out.
It's hard to get a read on him, and he doesn't really talk, you know, straightforward, or he's just his answers to questions are oftentimes vague. And I think if he was asked about that, you'd get a vague answer. But it hasn't come together for him in Ann Arbor. I don't think the way he thought it would. And he's watching Ohio State and Penn State, you know, top him the last few years. And I don't know. I don't know what the pressure is like for him in Ann Arbor. There'd probably be less pressure if he went to the NFL and probably a sizable paycheck.
Now, the reasoning here is, as best as I can put together, is obviously the Bears are going to part. They have to part ways with John Fox. But Chuck Pagano could be out in Indianapolis as well, and he played quarterback there. So you've got a lot of people who are doing some premature dot connecting, but a couple NFL gigs could involve or could interest Harbaugh. And it's interesting. He's not exactly the most liberal play caller out there. So the Bears fans that want to get rid of John Fox because he's too conservative, I don't necessarily know if they'd be all that happy with Jim Harbaugh, but he seems to be a restless soul, a guy who, but not Todd Graham level, but Larry Brown-esque, who, you know, give me 3 or 4 years in one spot. But your point in particular, I think he thought he was going to have a lot more success and a lot sooner in Ann Arbor. And Ohio State's not going anywhere. Michigan State looked like it was a one-and-off last year. They're back this year. And oh, yeah, by the way, you got James Franklin and Penn State in that division as well, and it doesn't look like that program's going away. So it's tough sledding for Michigan, and he's under an intense amount of scrutiny coaching at his alma mater. I guess when you step back and you look at it, you go, maybe it's not as crazy as you first think.
Seems like he wears out his welcome maybe as well.
The 49ers and Jed York tried to trade him to the Cleveland Browns when he was the coach of the Niners, and that was coming off a Super Bowl, one year removed from a Super Bowl. They tried trading him to the Cleveland Browns. You don't do that with somebody who is easy to work with and that you want around. So interesting there. Now, I don't know whether the Michigan job comes open or not. We know that the Nebraska job is most likely going to be open, and it'll be interesting to see what the mood is in Lincoln when you and I are over there next Friday for the Heroes game between the Hawkeyes and the Cornhuskers. I think at this point, Mike Riley's finishing out the year. The question is, how quickly after that game next Friday does Nebraska make the announcement, and can they get Scott Frost from Central Florida? And if not, is there an acceptable backup plan if you're a Cornhusker fan? 319-366-1600. We're talking on Love It or Leave It. A couple people throwing around Brett Bielema's name. The other guys that have been connected to that job, at least on the surface, I think everybody's all in on Scott Frost here. And if he doesn't want to come back to his alma mater, or if Florida decided that he was their guy and they kept him in the Sunshine State, currently at Central Florida, for those who may not be aware, what does Nebraska do post-Mike Riley?
It's really been, you know, I don't want to say a comedy of errors, but they have not found the right fit. They went from, they got Bill Callahan from the NFL. That didn't work out. After letting, you know, post Tom Osborne, they let,
Frank Solich
go to Ohio.
They quietly put together a really good year
good
at
coach.
Ohio.
Good coach, yeah. And we saw him the first few years that Kirk was here. But he was still at Nebraska, and he won, you know, they won in 99 and 2000.
Yeah, I don't think Kirk wants to be reminded of those games in years number one and two.
We had Kevin Casper on last week who was involved in those games. But they need to try to find a fit. Is it Scott Frost? It would seem like it. I mean, he's a Nebraska kid who's gone through the program. But if he falls through, what is the fit? Obviously, the Mike Riley was not a good hire. Bo Pelini won games, but, you know, talking about Jim Harbaugh rubbing people the wrong way, Pelini was not a good fit there. I don't know enough about their program and what options they may have to find a fit there. But they're all in. They're invested in that football program. They've got to take a run at Frost and pay him whatever he wants, I would think.
It'll be interesting to see Bielema at Arkansas.
Well, aren't they pushing for Gus Malzahn from Auburn now?
And, I think Gus Malzahn may be pushing for that job.
He may be looking for the parachute out of Auburn.
He is an Arkansas guy, and I think they'd be happy with that. Look, I don't want to kick a guy when he's down, and Bielema is certainly down. He left Wisconsin for a number of reasons, primarily because he didn't want to work for Barry Alvarez anymore. At least that's my opinion. He didn't want to have to go into a building where he had to walk past a statue of his boss every day. But he also made the comments that he thought it would be put him in a better position to win a national championship in the SEC. And obviously, as you look at his tenure in Fayetteville, that hasn't happened at this point. But Jeff Long, the AD at Arkansas, very nice, a lucrative buyout. By the way, they owe him about $4.5 million, I think, for firing him. Long's the guy who hired Bielema, so he's most likely going to be looking for a job. I know I touched on it a little bit on Love It or Leave It earlier, but where do you think Brett Bielema winds up next year?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm sure he'll have plenty of suitors for the work that he's done to this point, you know, the Arkansas debacle aside. That was just a tough job, and it is a tough job. We know how good that conference is, and it's dog-eat-dog in recruiting. And he hasn't recruited at a high enough level to compete with schools down there. I think he's probably better off at a more traditional, like a Big Ten-type school. But other than Nebraska, I don't think anything will come open this year. Lovey's got a big buyout. They like Tom Allen at Indiana. He hasn't had a good year, but I think he's doing some good things there. It's a good question. I could see him being on the sidelines, maybe doing a little TV next year until something, you know, he lines something up.
Is it Gary Danielson at ESPN who goes around and eats at all of the campuses? That'd be a good role for Bielema.
Yeah.
I think he'd be really good at that. And I have a feeling I know where he would go in Iowa City and Coralville if he were ever doing a TV game involving the Hawkeyes. One other coaching story I wanted to touch on, and I find it fascinating. Bill Snyder is going to be the coach of the Kansas State Wildcat football program until he no longer wants to be. That's essentially the language that they are using in Manhattan. That it was reported the other day that Jim Leavitt was set to go to Kansas State as a coach in waiting, and Snyder put the kibosh on that because he wants his son, who I don't think has ever served as more than the special teams coordinator there. He wants his son to succeed him at Kansas State. Snyder left once, and things fell apart there. Is there a possibility that perhaps this time around he hangs around the program too long and it becomes an issue?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that happening because, obviously, as you said, his son is got to work his way up the ladder a little bit, and that's going to take some time. And I don't know. I mean, he basically has a lifetime contract, but does that include being able to name your successor? That could be a real messy situation. And who knows if we don't experience something similar here. It's certainly on the table. Kirk hasn't come out and said it's kind of just – it's working its way, you know, kind of working its way out. But we may be faced with something similar here down the road. Who knows?
Is that not to go back and belabor the point a couple weeks ago with Brian Ferentz and the press box situation in Minnesota, but is that, in your opinion, maybe part of the reason why the frustration level has got to the point where it did with Brian this year? Because he's under a lot of pressure to make this work. Not only the offense, but his future as well is sort of tied to how he performs as the offensive coordinator here in Iowa City.
Yeah, I would say that's a valid point. I would think that at least in some way that plays, you know, plays a factor into this thing, plays a role in this thing. But I think maybe the most frustrating point for him is watching this offense and not being able to perform, because I think it's frustrating for the fans from the feedback I've gotten, and I'm sure you've gotten on the air. I'm sure there's been language used like that from plenty of fans watching Iowa's offense this year, and it's frustrating, and I'm sure he's frustrated. And we talked about this, you know, when it happened. Certainly shouldn't have happened, but I think it was probably an overblown story.
The biggest thing for me was they made such a big deal out of being aggressive against Ohio State. They knew they were going to need to be aggressive against Ohio State. And, well, why can't they be that aggressive more often? And then you look at last week where the offense just completely turtled up into a shell. It's hard to pinpoint at this point. And that goes back to the discussion about, is this team closer to the one we saw 2 weeks ago, or is it closer to the one we saw last week in Madison? Because if they're closer to the one we saw last week in Madison, it could be an interesting game tomorrow for a while. But I think they're going to beat Purdue, and I think they're going to beat them handily. But if they come out and struggle offensively, the Boilermakers are a team, and we looked at their schedule yesterday on the program, talked about it a little bit. They have played a lot of the baseball equivalent would be one-run games. They are in games 4 points here, 3 points there, 6 points there, one-score football games, and I think that's a nightmare scenario for the Hawkeyes tomorrow, would be to have Purdue hanging around where they've got a chance to maybe pull off the upset late.
With the Iowa's offense this year, it just seems like it's not one or two things. It's a combination of a lot of, you know, several things coming together. When you looked at it, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Wisconsin, those games were just difficult to watch. I mean, it was such a struggle for them just to move the ball. You know, they were punting and 0-for-13 on third downs last week, but it's dropped passes, it's penalties, it's misreads, it's fumbles. It seems like whenever things can go wrong, they've gone wrong for this offense, and maybe that's why when they got all those pieces together, it looks so good against Ohio State. But you have to wonder how many of those things that they can get together in these last two games. Are there still going to be, you know, areas that are weaknesses that hurt them these last 2 weeks?
When's the last time, if at all, you can remember a Kirk Ferentz-coached team that was entering the 11th week of the season where it was still trying to figure out some things? Because I know that came up on Tuesday, and it's very unlike Kirk Ferentz to have a team that still is trying to find answers to a lot of questions this late into the season.
Yeah, and usually when this happens, usually there aren't good results. And I think the saving grace of this thing is they can win these last two games and still get to 8-4 during the regular season in a year where a lot of things didn't come together or haven't come together, but maybe they will come together in these last 2 weeks. And it's just, you talk about it being a developmental program, they have to do things, you know, they're not going to beat teams with superior athletes and these big plays that they make, you know, every series. And the special teams this year, I think, are one thing that gets overlooked, but the punting and punt returns and field position, it's such a big aspect of what Iowa does, and they've really been hurt by field position, especially in the losses.
We'll talk a little special teams and what could possibly be done to give Iowa a spark later on today. Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal and Courier joining us coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get the inside scoop on Purdue and what to expect from Jeff Brohm's team tomorrow. I was unaware of this. I was researching earlier this week. Jeff Brohm played minor league baseball for a couple years in the Cleveland Indians organization.
And then wound up.
I think he was a position player. Okay. I think he was an outfielder. But you learn something new every day. I know I certainly did listening to the gym class earlier today. They had Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of the Boilermakers, on. If you want to listen to their podcast, or if you missed anything from us today, you can check out KGYMRadio.com after the show is over and get all caught up. While you're there, you can also vote in our poll question. It has to do with Adam Silver's proclamation that the NBA is moving toward getting rid of its one-and-done rule. Who would benefit more in that case, the NBA or college basketball teams? That's the poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Former Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard, now with the San Francisco 49ers, set to join us tonight a little bit after 6 o'clock on the phones. We're at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, and when we come back, we've got a new addition to the KGYM listenership we want to tell you about. Someone very near and dear to our hearts has added a family member today. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
Own your man motions this season. Scream at a fumble, get misty at the Hail Mary pass, or ugly cry when your draft team tanks. Which won't judge. They'll just show up with box lunches, mini sandwiches, pasta salads, wraps, trays of sweets, whatever you order, and bring it right to your football watch party or tailgate. Which Superior Sandwiches, catering to the emotional football fans up and down the corridor. Place your catering order for the next home game now at whichwich.com.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairsbury Road in Cedar Rapids.
Get ready to door bust. Rent-A-Center's pre-Black Friday door busters are here. This Friday through Wednesday, you can shop insane pre-Black Friday deals on the brands you want most. Come early for door busters like an LG 4K TV, Xbox One, Samsung Galaxy phone, and Beats by Dre headphones for crazy low weekly payments. But you better hurry before the best door busters are gone. Only at Rent-A-Center. Big brands, small payments. Rental purchase lease transaction. Participating locations only. See manager for details.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Currently on all three frequencies, but not for long. Cyclone basketball on the way, 1600 a.m. coming up in just a few seconds. But before that, here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The Iowa football team announced today that Colorado State has been added to the schedule for 2021. The Hawkeyes will open the season with Indiana in Week 1, Iowa State in Week 2, a team yet to be determined in Week 3, and now will play the Rams on September 25th. Iowa basketball beat Grambling State last night, 85-74, to move to 3-0. They were led by freshman Jack Nungy, who had 17 points on 6 of 8 from the floor, as well as 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He was one of five Hawkeyes in double figures. Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss each had 15, while Luca Garza had 13 points and 9 rebounds. Jordan Bohannon also had 12 points and 7 assists. Iowa State was finally at full strength last night, and just like that, they got their first win, 104-98 over Appalachian State. Donovan Jackson led with 26 points on just 11 shot attempts. Nick Weiler-Babb had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. And Cameron Lard had 12 points and 11 rebounds in his college debut. They advanced to play Tulsa today, a game you can hear on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, beginning in just a few minutes. We've had and have some championship high school football today. Van Meter claimed its first title in school history earlier today, beating Iowa City Regina 28-7 in the Class 1A championship. And then later tonight, we're going to get off the air at 6:45 to pass things off to Alex Kuhn. He's on the call for Iowa City West and West Des Moines Dowling in the Class 4A title game. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We are on the FM frequencies only, beginning in just a few seconds. Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal and Courier joins us next to talk Purdue Boilermaker football. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show next.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has two Iowa City locations, Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also... We now leave regular ESPN programming to bring you this live sports presentation on 1600 ESPN Radio.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Calling all contractors, announcing the Ferguson and Ram Commercial Ultimate Van Giveaway. We're handing over the keys to a 2018 Ram Commercial ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at ferguson.com/ramvangiveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking.
No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit ferguson.com/ramvangiveaway.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Oh boy, another issue for the NFL, the league that has been considered easily the most popular in North America with a rising level of popularity globally, is falling on hard times. TV ratings, we know, they're down significantly. Some fans say they're not fans anymore because of player protests. Medical advances have shown the potential long-term impacts of playing the game, and now, arguably, the most famous NFL owner is at war with the commissioner. One might expect the commissioner's the one who would look bad in this battle, since he's the one consistently criticized. Watch the NFL draft any year and listen to the boos when he makes his way to the podium. But surprisingly, in this war, it's the owner, Jerry Jones, who I think looks bad. OTL explains it. Jones and Commissioner Roger Goodell were tight until Goodell told Jones he was suspending his tailback Ezekiel Elliott 6 games. Jones told Goodell over the phone, "I'm going to come after you with everything I have." Now Jones is threatening to sue other NFL owners if a new Goodell contract gets through without a vote of all 32 owners. Jerry Jones is 75. Yet throwing a hissy fit like a 3-year-old in Target after mom didn't buy him a toy. Yeah, we've all been there. In 60 seconds, an interesting who-do-I-root-for dilemma has struck college football fans.
Guys, come into the JCPenney men's store and find great looks for all those holiday parties. Now through Sunday, get 60% off select styles of men's outerwear, hats, and gloves starting at just $6.99. Refresh your holiday wardrobe with 60% off men's sport coats, top coats, and dress pants starting at $23.99. We've got your style and size in-store and at jcp.com. Plus, the holiday challenge is here. Get everything on your list for less than you think. Hurry in. JCPenney.
Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Tomorrow's not a great Saturday for potential college football upsets or playoff-changing stories. Most top-ranked teams are playing cupcakes or Power 5 bottom feeders, but undefeated number 5 Wisconsin isn't. Now, they're playing Michigan, and it's brought about a cheering dilemma nationwide, at least outside of the Badger and Wolverine fan bases. For whatever reason, many college football fans have decided they don't like Wisconsin. Their Charmin soft schedule has led to a 10-0 record nobody believes in. Just get rid of the Badgers, they say, but that would mean... gulp. Rooting for Jim Harbaugh. Do you see the problem? Enjoy this tomorrow, if you're even able to sleep trying to make this decision tonight. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion. But we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. But we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true, and we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will close out the week with another great quarterback matchup and two hot teams as Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons take on Seattle's quarterback Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Join us for what promises to be a high-flying offensive show and hear the NFL all season long from Westwood One.
Monday Night Football, the Falcons and the Seahawks. Monday night at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM, presented by Mediacom.
Welcome back. The KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. Continuing on from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Happy hour underway until 7 o'clock tonight. And want to take an opportunity to say congratulations to one of our favorite listeners. We don't play favorites here, but sometimes it's hard not to like the guy, Stumpy, letting us know that he became a grandfather once again today, a new member of the family. And congratulations going out to him and everybody in the Stumpy family. He's also given us his prediction for tomorrow between Iowa and Purdue. He's got the Hawkeyes winning 41-17. That's a little bit higher scoring, as Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com gives me the side eye there. I've got Iowa winning tomorrow. I don't want to spoil that prediction for anybody that's going to pick up the Cedar Rapids Gazette and looks forward to my picks every week, but not by a score of 41-17, and maybe I would change my mind altogether if I learned enough interesting tidbits about the Boilermakers from our next guest. He's frequently on the program when we talk Purdue football and basketball. It's Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal and Courier. And Mike, what type of football team is Jeff Brohm bringing to town tomorrow?
Well, one that is a little bit injured, one that is playing pretty good defense, and one that is struggling to find the end zone, especially on the road.
What's been the biggest difference between the beginning of the year for Purdue and the way the Boilermakers are playing right now? I know David Blau is injured, and that's been a big part of it, but why the drop-off?
It's probably just the way it should have gone this year. I mean, they got off to a good start just because they were new and Brohm was doing some different things, and teams have caught up to them, and teams that they're playing, especially in the Big Ten, just have more talent across the board, especially defensively going against their offense. You know, Purdue doesn't have a lot of playmakers on the offensive side. They've used a variety of trick plays to move the ball, put themselves in position to score. And that can only be sustainable for a short period of time. Eventually, you have to line up and play basic football, and they've struggled to do that, in part because of their lack of talent, and the other part is just based on who they're playing in the Big Ten.
Hey, Mike, it's Rob Howe. How are you doing, stranger?
Great. How are you, Rob? I heard you on the way in.
Sorry about that. I'm doing well.
Road, but that's all right.
Mike and I covered women's college basketball in the late 90s, the Angie Lee, Carolyn Peck, Purdue, Iowa days. Those were some good teams, man.
Those are some great games to chronicle.
And listening to Kirk Ferentz the other day, Mike, he talked about Purdue being multiple on both sides of the ball, and that's when it's doing well, that it's having success in that. Can you explain a little bit what he's talking about in terms of what type of looks they give the opposition?
Well, on the offensive side, there's a lot of motion, a lot of eye candy to try to move the defense one way and try to create a mismatch somewhere else. And they've done that a lot this year. They've had some big plays out of that, especially early in the year. They just show you a lot of different looks and try to fool you a little bit into thinking what's coming. But as now you have 10 weeks of film on this team, I don't think defenses are as fooled as they were maybe earlier in the year. And then defensively, they do give you a lot of looks, but they also just come at you. The defensive front and the linebackers have really held up well all year. They're a lot better against the run than they have been in the past. I know Coach Ferentz mentioned that this week, and they'll bring some pressure from some different spots. So that's probably what he was alluding to a little bit. Yeah, I would expect the same thing out of Purdue again tomorrow. But again, I think teams have kind of caught up to them and have a better idea of what's coming at this stage of the season.
Mike Carman, the beat writer for the Lafayette Journal-Courier, joining us on the program talking a little Purdue football. Elijah Sindelar, ready to go for tomorrow?
Yeah, from what we understand and what we know, yeah, he's expected to start. He did not practice on Tuesday. They called it a day of rest, which I think we all would like a day of rest at times. But he was back out there on Wednesday and Thursday. I would expect him to play. I would expect to see Jared Sparks, the number two quarterback, who also had 11 catches last week as a starting wide receiver. They'll probably throw a couple guys back out there at the quarterback position and give them some different looks. So that's kind of what I expect tomorrow.
Sparks is an interesting player, Mike. I haven't watched Purdue a ton this year. When he plays quarterback, is it just Wildcat, or does he throw the ball? And how do they incorporate that, you know, with him being one of the better receivers, too, when you're taking him away?
Well, he hasn't attempted a pass yet. Actually, okay. The punter and a wide receiver have more pass attempts than Jared Sparks right now. They've used him mainly in the Wildcat, and it's been recently when games have been close. They did it against Illinois, and they did it last week against Northwestern. He played some earlier in the year against Missouri, but Purdue was up by 4 touchdowns at that point. So we haven't really seen him throw in a game. We've seen him throw in practice. I think he has a nice arm. He's got a nice touch, tight spiral at times. But his strength is his legs. He's a dual-threat guy. So if he's in the game, you right now you're only respecting the run. But I think for him to have any success in Purdue's offense to be effective against anybody, he's going to have to be a threat to throw the ball if he's going to be in the game for an extended period of time.
Mike, what did Jeff have to say about Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes this week?
Just very sound team. That's typical Iowa. That's not breaking news to anybody that's listening. But the last 2 weeks you've seen Iowa manhandle Ohio State, and then you watched Iowa get manhandled by Wisconsin. And, you know, somewhere in the middle is that Iowa team that normally doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They allow the other team to beat themselves a little bit, and that's kind of what's happened in the Purdue-Iowa series here recently, where Iowa doesn't do anything fancy, but Purdue finds a way to get behind the chains, or they have that one or two crucial turnovers or that drop pass that allows Iowa to pull away and win. But very impressed. I mean, the linebackers are solid. Strong running game. I mean, I think he expects Stanley to bounce back in a big way tomorrow. So, you know, they have to be tuned in to really shutting down that run and then trying to figure out a way to defend the pass better than they have the last few games.
I know I'm asking you kind of to get into people's heads and speculate here, but, you know, with it being a must-win tomorrow, Mike, and having to win these last two games, how do you think the Boilermakers will handle that pressure? Are they feeling pressure to win these two games and to make it back to a bowl?
I don't know if the word's pressure. This is the first time since 2012 that they've gone this deep in the season with a chance to still have a bowl game. At this time, the last 4 years, they've already been eliminated. So they understand what's ahead of them. I think the frustrating part for them is they did start off well, and in the middle of the season, it sure looked like a bowl team based on how they had played, who they had coming up on the schedule, but then the two losses to Rutgers and Nebraska just set them back to a point where they haven't been able to recover yet. They needed to win one of those games, preferably two, to put themselves in a spot. So when they hit November, they had a little bit of margin of error because of playing Northwestern and Iowa on the road, which, you know, I didn't think Purdue would win those games at the beginning of the year, and certainly going into each week, I don't think Purdue will be able to win this game on Saturday. So they've kind of put themselves in this position. Again, I don't think it's pressure so much as this. Jeff is trying to keep the frustration level not as high because these guys have kind of experienced a lot of frustration in their career. So he's really made an emphasis to say, just, you know, take a step back. You still have a lot to play for here, and kind of gearing them up that way to go into the game tomorrow.
How much of the outside noise about Jeff Brohm and other coaching jobs has permeated the program in West Lafayette? Is that something that's getting talked a lot about in that neighborhood?
No, not really. This is year one. You know, the buyout is pretty high, but schools have a lot of money. You know, he picked Purdue over Western Kentucky, basically, last year. It wasn't while he was entertaining some discussions from other schools. At the end, it was Purdue or Western Kentucky. So he was either going to come to Purdue or he's going to stay in Western Kentucky. And if he, you know, if he thought there was a bigger job out there that was going to come up this year that he really wanted, then why did he come to Purdue? I think he fits Purdue. Purdue fits him. So it doesn't mean something won't happen at the end of the year. But, you know, right now, that talk is really just, you know, people associating his name with these jobs because I think the national media doesn't look at Purdue as a destination job. And, you know, it is in a way because of you're in the Big Ten, you're in the Big Ten West, you're in the easier side of the divisions, and you can make a move if you recruit well and, you know, find yourselves on the right side of the schedule each year. So, again, I don't think anything will happen, but I've been around long enough to know that you never discount anything. So we'll just see how this plays out the next couple weeks.
Why do you say he's a good fit, Mike? And is it similar to Joe Tiller, having seen him, you know, he looked so comfortable there when Iowa would play Purdue. It just seemed like he was so comfortable in his own skin and at the school. Is it similar with Jeff? Is that the reason why you see it that way?
It is a little similar with their approach to offense, where they are focused on the quarterback. They are focused on passing the ball and pushing the ball up the field. And when Purdue has had success, and you know this, mm-hmm. They've had solid quarterback play, and they do something a little different that other teams don't see on a weekly basis throughout the Big Ten. Now, we have a bunch of spread offenses, and Joe Tiller kind of pushed college football, pushed the Big Ten into that era a little bit. And what Jeff's doing is not completely unique or different than what teams are doing now. But he's a former quarterback. He's from the Midwest. So those two things fit what Purdue's about. And I also think this is what Purdue stands for, you know, their academic side and a lot of other things with the campus kind of fit what Jeff Brohm's about. And he's made an emphasis to recruit in locally. When I say locally, the state, he wants to get Indiana back into the recruiting mix. It's been ignored a lot the last 4 years. So it is kind of all fit with him and Purdue and the community. And it just, I think eventually it will work to the level where Purdue is competing for a bowl spot on a yearly basis.
Hey, Mike, before we let you go, I read one of your stories online earlier this week. If you can, for our listeners, tell them who Tyler Trent is and why he's going to be coming to the game tomorrow.
Well, I'll try to make this brief, but Tyler Trent is a Purdue freshman. He's from Carmel, Indiana. Earlier in the spring, he was diagnosed with a form of bone cancer. It's his second bout with this type of cancer. I met Tyler. He was camping out before the Michigan game back in late September. Him and his buddy, they were the only two outside the gate to the student entrance you know, this was around 11:30 at night. I was coming back from covering a high school football game and just drove around the stadium to see what activity was going on. I met him. I wrote about him. And then he saw throughout the course of the season what goes on at Iowa after the first quarter with the wave to the Children's Hospital. And, it hit him hard that he could easily be in that position. He could be in the Iowa Children's Hospital, you know, right now, getting treatment and going through this whole process. So Tyler and his dad, Tony, are driving out today. They're going to attend the game tomorrow. They plan to visit the hospital tomorrow at some point before the game, hopefully interact with the families and children and just kind of provide some hope for them, because Tyler's kind of walking in their shoes right now. So is his dad, Tony. So it was very meaningful for them to try to get out to this game, not only support Purdue, but also take part in the exceptional ceremony that goes on every home game here at Iowa.
Great stuff as always, Mike. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk Thanksgiving side dishes with you, but maybe we can work that in during basketball season. Have you made it to Iowa City yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Well,
thanks for the fog.
Hopefully that clears off tomorrow. Otherwise, it could be a really interesting game at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow. Mike Carman from the Lafayette Journal-Courier. He's going to be at Kinnick Stadium, and we will be too. We'll have the game covered. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time, Mike.
All right, thanks. See you tomorrow, Rob.
Yep, we'll see you, Mike.
He's a good guy. I don't know Mike all that well, but we've had him on the program a number of times, and it takes a special soul to cover a program that's been in the shape that Purdue football has for the last several years, going even back to the Danny Hope era there and Daryl Hazel, and now Jeff Brohm seems to have this program headed in the right direction, but they've taken a step back here with the injuries, and it's an uphill climb for them to get to a bowl in Jeff Brohm's first year. They'd have to beat Iowa tomorrow and then beat Indiana in a fiercely contested rivalry game next weekend. But
is that the Oaken Bucket?
The old Oaken Bucket, not to be confused
they don't
with
have a
the
new one yet.
New one, no. I don't put it past the Big Ten to come up with the new Oaken Bucket and have one of the two schools
it'll
play
be made
somebody
out of pewter.
Yeah, recycled from the Cyhawk Trophy. Mike's a pleasure as always. Give him a follow on Twitter at Carmin_JC. That's Carmin, C-A-R-M-I-N. And we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about Purdue and Iowa in the matchup coming up. But Hawkeye fans, you're going to want to stick around. 10 minutes from now, we're going to have former Hawkeye quarterback and current San Francisco 49er C.J. Beathard joining us on the phone here at Coach's Corner. Rob House sitting in for Alex Kuhn. He is at the Unidome in Cedar Falls getting ready to call Class 4A state championship football tonight at 6:45. Iowa City West taking on West Des Moines Dowling. Earlier today, a Class 2A final to pass along, Williamsburg fell to Waukon 29-0. So area teams 0-2 so far today. We'll see if Iowa City West can put one in the win column. 5:52, we'll step aside and take a quick break. When we return, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City after this.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
When was the last time you saw Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Kiss, Van Halen, Queen, Twisted Sister, Journey, Poison, and Bon Jovi all in the same night? With a fiery pyro show, video screens, smoke machines, makeup, costumes, fire, and a virtually endless playlist, Hairball puts on a rock concert like you've never seen before. Coming to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena tomorrow night. Tickets are on sale now at U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com, or 800-745-3000. Presented by Henry's Hard Sparkling Soda.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark.
Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Calling all contractors, announcing the Ferguson and Ram Commercial Ultimate Van Giveaway. We're handing over the keys to a 2018 Ram Commercial ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking.
No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway.
C.J. Beathard coming up in just a few minutes. 106.3 FM, our Iowa City South gym frequency. 107.5 FM, our Cedar Rapids North gym frequency. With you until 6:45 tonight. We've got Iowa State men's basketball right now on 1600 AM. They are at the Puerto Rico tip-off in, not Puerto Rico, they're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Williams and Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com sitting in for John Walters on the call of that, and you can catch up with all the action. Iowa State taking on Tulsa tonight. John is making his way with the team to Waco, Texas. As a matter of fact, I think they are on the ground in Waco. The Cyclones, a 9.5-point favorite tomorrow on the road over the Bears, coached now by Matt Rhule, the former Penn State lineman. Let's send it back to the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The Iowa football team announced today that Colorado State has been added to the schedule for 2021. The Hawkeyes will open the season with Indiana in Week 1, Iowa State in Week 2, a team yet to be determined in Week 3, and now will play the Rams on September 25th. Iowa basketball beat Grambling State last night 85-74 to move to 3-0. They were led by freshman Jack Nungy, who had 17 points on 6 of 8 from the floor and 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He was one of 5 Hawkeyes in double figures. Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss each had 15, while Luca Garza had 13 points and 9 rebounds, and Jordan Bohannon had 12 points and 7 assists. Iowa State was finally at full strength last night, and just like that, they got their first win, 104-98 over Appalachian State. Donovan Jackson led with 26 points on just 11 shot attempts. Nick Weiler-Babb had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists, and Cameron Lard had 12 points and 11 rebounds in his college debut. They advanced to play Tulsa today, a game you can hear on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. That game's about to be tipping in just a few minutes. We've had and have some championship high school football today. Van Meter claimed its first title in school history earlier today, beating Iowa City Regina 28-7 in the Class 1A championship. And then later tonight, we're going to get off the air at 6:45 to pass things off to Alex Kuhn on the call for Iowa City West and West Des Moines Dowling in the Class 4A title game. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, continuing from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub for the next 45 minutes. If you're in the need of some new tires, check out LinderTire.com. They've got a great coupon right now for $60 off some Nokian tires to get you ready for winter with a new set of 4 tires. LinderTire.com or in person, North Liberty, Grinnell, and right here in Iowa City. C.J. Beathard, San Francisco 49ers starting quarterback, back in town. He joins us next as hour number 3 is right around the corner.
It's time for some straight talk. Greeny, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With